Yeah, welcome everybody to the November Friday, the 13th, CPS Scary. Okay, the recording has started, and we're looking at the agenda here for SAN normalization and then network slicing. Why did it jump to the top of the page? I don't know why it does that. Okay. Oh my gosh, did it lose? Wait, oh, what the heck happened? Lost the
edits you just made.
Yeah, all of the edits I just made. What the heck? Huh. What the heck happened? Maybe I hit the back key or something?
I think you selected close.
Did I hit close? Oops. Okay, anyway. I'll edit.
I should tell you even ongoing edit then.
Go unpublished changes. Wait, let's see, hold on. maybe I can recover this.
Hopefully.
Yeesh. Sorry about this. Let me see if I can recover.
I think you can click on that unpublished changes when it loads up now, but I couldn't swear to it.
Let's see. Well, Okay, so I don't know that we were supposed to talk with the SAN team, but I don't see anybody from the SAN team.
I think they did say that they would be arriving a little bit later, more in line with when their meeting would previously have started.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So for the last half hour, I expect them. But
I think that was their intention.
Getting some errors here. All right. Well, publishing on that doesn't do anything. Let me see if it recovered. Changes. Oh yeah, there it goes. Okay, all right. Let me update.
Excellent.
I think I hit close. It's possible. All right. All right. Oh. All right. So I guess we'll wait for the SAN stuff for a bit, and we're gonna also, last time, for those of you might have missed, we're also extending this meeting to an hour and a half, and we'll have part of the meeting run by, it always jumps to the top. What the heck? All right, so we're also going to click, okay. I'll just use the keyboard here. Have part of the meeting be run by Tuan and talking about development items, and I can act as scribe if you want, Tuan, or Tuan, you can run that part of the meeting if you want, whatever you want to do. And just want to show people, let me go to the CPS page here. What we did was also, now that we're a separate project, last week we structured we're now under ONAP projects, approved projects. And we moved some of our pages around so that it falls under here. The CPS project page is here. And then we have our developer's landing page, which maybe Tuan, this is where you want to kind of run the development part of the meeting.
I was actually thinking about using the Kanban board. I was going to try to share my screen again, but
yeah. We have our issues and assumptions page, and this is the current page that I'm on where we have our meetings and recordings. And then I noticed that a lot of the pages also have something in, release 8 And we start with release 8. So we'll go before we were an actual project in our 6 and 7, we were just kind of like a use case on POC. So that's why I didn't move those other pages here. But we'll have a page 8, 9, 10, and so forth, Istanbul and Kyoto and stuff under here. okay, just so people, and it's pretty easy to find now. If you just go to wiki.onep.org, and then click on the left navigation pane, and click on ONAP projects, approved projects, you should be able to find all our pages. Okay. Toyn created a cool logo for us. I'll let you.
I was just playing around.
Absorb the art there. It looks really nice. I like it. So. Yeah.
And, we don't have a UI or anything where we can use it yet, but maybe in our presentations and that kind
sure.
of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Yeah. Okay, so the end-to-end network slicing stuff we'll get to in a bit. Did you want to put the development stuff at the beginning or end, or what? We haven't really talked about that.
Yeah, I think it might be best if we can stick it at the beginning for now. That would be great.
Sure.
And if you don't mind.
Yeah. Yep. So do you want to share your screen? Do you want me to go to
I want to give it one more try. Now, today I seem to have a bad day with my broadband. And if I do cut out, let me, I might be gone for 5 to 10 minutes. No, you might have to make me, you have to give me host permissions, Ben.
Sure.
I had every hour almost, I've been have a blackout for about 5 to 10 minutes. I think it's external actually. So if you do lose me, you know why, and somebody else has to take over, unfortunately.
Sure.
But we'll see how it goes. I'll try again, sharing my screen. Yeah. Share the smaller monitor so it'll be less data. Tell me if you can see my board.
Not yet.
Oh, I always forget. I need to click in Zoom slightly different teams. You need to confirm what you're sharing. So hopefully you can see my board.
Yep.
Okay, I won't go into detail. We have daily scrums as well. Now, I know some teams don't do the daily scrum and do that more as a weekly meeting. So my idea is during this half hour that we might not even need it in the beginning, a full half hour, is to give a quick roundup for people that aren't actually directly in the development team to check if we're stuck on anything major, if anything is not progressing as it should be, and we're open for submissions from other parties, things that they might like to consider or if they want to give us some feedback on what we're doing. So that's the purpose of this part of the meeting. So for a quick status update, I just want to say that we've moved to a project. We've been quite busy with setting up the actual proper repo and the build jobs in ONAP. The repo is ready and we were using it. We still have some problems with the jobs. It took us a while to actually get the job triggering, but now it's triggering and it's failing for a reason we don't understand, which we don't think has to do with our sources, but it's probably something to do with CI configuration. We're also in the process of setting up a SonarCube job. So we want to build in as much quality control from the beginning again there, having all those jobs up and running from the start and have good code coverage and all of that built in, as I often mentioned during presentations. Both Claudio and Ruslan from Pantheon have joined us in the last 2 or 3 weeks, and they've been very active and very helpful, especially in this part of setting up things. And Ruslan is actually working with us on the code as well. So from a coding point of view, let me just first mention that Neve has been working on the ONAP batch program, I think it's called, we applied for that. We don't quite have the batch at the moment until the SonarCube work is done. And then we were passing, is my understanding, and then we might need a little bit more, not very much, to get a silver batch. But it means we're registered in all the right places and we have all the wiki pages in place for anything like that. And people can look that up. It's all hanging off that developers page that Ben showed earlier. All the information is there. From a development point of view, again, the user stories are progressing fine. You can see the backlog here. Earlier this week, I've been adding quite a few things to the backlog because of the amount of people now actually working on it or running. Our backlog wasn't quite ready for it, but now again we have a decent amount of work planned and ready for people to work on. Leif, as you can give a more detailed update later, is working on the Java API. Ruslan is working on storing the expats. Richie is working on creating an anchor, and then we're ready for actually attaching data to the anchors in the next week or so. We also have books on the agenda here. At the moment, we have two books. One is in progress. It's about some issues with the DB script. I think it had to do with user stories kind of being making changes but not fully committed yet, and therefore users couldn't install it anymore. We weren't aware of that, but Bruno created a book for that, and I think Bruno himself is working on that. And then we have some issue with, we had a lot of discussions on what we return if something already exists. During a demo that we did earlier this week, we realized that we were returning the wrong error status somewhere. So there's a book for that, which hopefully picked up in the next couple of days. I'm not sure. No, I think I'll leave it for this week. Maybe next week I'll show the actual work in progress from a review point of view. I know there's about 2 or 3 reviews ongoing. I should mention as well, Claudio's working on the Dockerization. But again, we have some issues still because the jobs aren't firing or aren't completing correctly. So that's what these reviews are kind of pending on at the moment. So if everything is up and running properly during this meeting, I will we'll do a quick check, making sure that the reviews are progressing and make sure there's nothing majorly stuck there. Another thing, maybe not for this time, but we do need to work on fleshing out our requirements. Maybe Ben, you want to say something about that? I understand we have one overall requirement for the project in Honolulu. But we might need to do some work to have some epics underneath that and scope them for the Honolulu timeframe so that we have a bit of a better idea and we can report progress at a higher level, how we're doing at certain aspects of the project. That's it for me, really, for the status update, unless people have any questions on this part.
Any questions for... So is this a link off of the landing page that the developer's landing page?
I just realized as we were starting this meeting, I didn't update. This is a new board. This is a new Kanban board for the project. I think the landing page still points to the POC, so I'll take a note of that. I'll probably update it during this meeting.
Okay. All right, great.
I'll stick it in the chat anyway, just in case.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
Thank you, Ben. If you,
Yep. Thanks. Okay. So I.
Sorry, Ben. I'm not quite sure whether it's part of this. I did want Niamh to go in a bit more detail about
sure.
what he's done on the API.
Niamh, did you want to share?
Yeah, sure. I'll share my screen.
Because I think it's important that we give a high level view of the Java API. I should clarify, we've done the REST API before. So this week it's really the Java API, because as we mentioned, we expect that many clients will use CPS as a library. So we want to make sure that we have a broad vision and agreement what the Java API is going to look like. So that's what Niamh's going to present today.
Can I have permission to share screen? Let me know when you guys can see.
Yeah, we can see it, Niamh.
Okay, so this is the documentation, the wiki page to document and give a detailed view of and structure of our Java API. So here's just a general introduction. And we have a link to the Java doc, which I will show in a minute. And also we have a table that describes a lot of issues and decisions we discussed. So such as like deletion and creation of objects, or how we wanted to specify objects and how we wanted to handle errors. So anyone can have a look at that if they want to look, read more into this. Yeah, we have a section on error handling. And also we just have an overview of what we want interface capabilities. Now, so I'll open up the Java doc. So we plan to have three different interfaces, data service, module service, and query service. So I'll start with data service. So this interface will handle CPS data. It has the create, read, and delete operations or methods for database, anchor, and node. It also describes methods for associations objects with other objects. So for example, associating a node with a database. We have this module service. So this interface will is for maintaining Yang modules. And we have methods to add, create, delete, and read multiple modules, or read one module. If I go back. Finally, we have the query service. So this interface is just responsible for CPS's queries. So we just have multiple different methods that allow you to query a node and query information about the node. So yeah, that's it. I'll add a link to this page in the chat if anyone wants to have a look. Thank you. Does anyone have any?
A couple questions. So, is there any plan to do a corresponding information model to represent the concepts that are being exposed by this API?
Maybe Tuan or Tony, you could.
I'm not entirely sure what you mean, Andy.
There's information that's being exposed by the API, right? And you have concepts in the API. You talk about things like nodes, et cetera.
So models. The data space, the anchors, and then the rest of it is really a representation of what is given to us. So the Yang model that would be given to us. So the those nodes and things are constructs that are coming from Yang.
Right, but you're identifying classes, right, that are being manipulated across the API, you know, through Java.
Because I've seen that this pattern being used as well, maybe there's a bit some confusion about this. We're going to treat the nodes as basic objects and return them as a generic object. And we've discussed before the attributes will be something what we called a glorified map, effectively, of a list of attributes and values.
Right.
So we're not going to have specific classes presenting specific elements.
No, that's okay, but yeah. We still need the base model.
Well, the base model will be, and I think, Niamh, you might, did you go as far as documenting a return object type for an object? Maybe not yet.
So anything that you're querying or getting or reading or creating, right, you want to make sure you have the corresponding information object to represent that.
Correct, yeah. There will be a Java object probably called node that would be a very basic object with as I said, a map
sure.
representing the attributes and a few attributes as are designed in our generic schema at the moment.
Right, exactly.
And
all I'm asking is, could we do a UML model to represent those concepts?
So in addition to the data space and the anchor, you'd also like to see the payload, how the payload is being represented.
Yeah, at least generically, yeah.
Yeah, it's a reasonable request.
And then the second question I had, was these are APIs that are being exposed from the component CPS to other components in ONAP or outside of ONAP.
Correct.
As a Java library, there is an equivalent REST that we looked. So these would be for code deployment only.
Okay. So you got my question is, are you going to have an open API spec Swagger that corresponds to this?
So Andy, maybe we should put some of these modeling topics into the modeling planning page.
We actually maybe you can look that up. We have a YAML for the REST API defined as well. Do you have a link for that, Andy?
So you have a YAML spec like a Swagger.
Yeah, that's exactly what we have for the REST API.
Let me capture it here. So this is, I've opened up the modeling page, and this is our CPS line here. So I think Andy is suggesting we...
Is that modeling work, or is that work within the CPS team? That was my follow-on question before you commit to updating this one. Is that work...
The UML would be modeling work. The Swagger would be work within this team. Although I'd like to highlight that we do have an ONAP set of Swagger modeling guidelines.
Yeah, we tried to follow them. That was our start for our whole Swagger. So we have a contract for a Swagger defined REST interface at the moment, and we followed those guidelines from the wikis provided by ONAP.
Great. And then there's a linter too, if you find it useful, called Spectral. That's not too bad. So
it helps. Okay. I'm not sure if that was used or not. Niamh, maybe you if we use that linter tool?
No, I think the one we have created story for that, it's in the backlog.
Okay. Yeah, thanks.
Great. Thank you. That's all I had.
So Andy, what should we put here? UML modeling for the interface? Is that what?
Yeah, to represent the information elements provided on the CPS APIs.
Okay, and I guess Toyn would own that?
You mean with driving it or?
Well, I
guess we have to help the modeling folks. Ultimately, I suppose, Andy, you're saying this is going to end up in one of those wonderful, what do you call them? The UML diagrams, say, I'll end up in one great big...
Yep, the release model, yeah.
Yeah.
We just call it the information model. That's pretty
easy.
Yeah, there's a tool that you use, though, for it.
Yeah, we use Papyrus.
Papyrus, that's the word I was looking for, and it just escaped me.
Still,
thank you.
I still have an issue running Papyrus. I don't know what... I've been trying to, get Papyrus to work, but...
Did you ask you about the problem, or maybe we should...
You forward the thing, so I get this error basically that.
Ben, which version you are using? Actually, I'm using Papyrus reverse engineering for ANEI. Yeah, if you need any help, let me know.
Okay, that'd be good. Let me see if we can.
Looks like an Eclipse setup problem more than a Papyrus thing.
This is Eclipse problem. Yeah.
Ah, okay.
So is it based on the version of Eclipse that he's using, or the version of Papyrus using?
For me, I'm using 2020.03 March release, and Papyrus is
March release of 2020. Yeah. Oh, okay. So I'm only, that's probably my problem. Maybe I haven't.
And which Papyrus are you using?
Let me give me a second. I will tell you which Papyrus I'm using. Any Papyrus? I'm using the one release 4.7. 4.7, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So probably I need a newer version of Eclipse. That might be. Let me investigate that. Okay. Great. Thanks. Yeah.
If you are using Oxygen or Photon, upgrade to latest version of Eclipse.
Okay. All right. So maybe that's my problem. All right. Let me play around with that. I was just following the page to try to get that to work.
Actually, let me share. There is one page that you can follow how to set up the Papyrus.
Which is where Andy pointed me to.
Yeah.
It was here, or is it?
Let me paste it
here. I don't know. Where was it?
Go ahead and paste it in the chat. That way we could.
Yeah. Oh, here it is. This is the page I was working from. Here, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I followed this to get to where I am, but it didn't quite work because I think maybe it's pointing to a low.
What's that photon? Did it say to use photon there?
Yeah, this
but
is
it's
for photon.
To
yeah.
Overload too. See the 2019.06. That's probably needs to be updated to a.
But he's saying don't use photon. Maybe that's.
I use it. I followed this with Oxygen. It worked with a photon. It worked, and then I moved to the latest Eclipse. So installed the latest of. The version which works with Eclipse 2020.03.
Aha. Okay. That's probably my problem then. All right. Great. And maybe we need to update this page too. So I've been updating this page as I ran across stuff too. So
There are some plugins you need to install once you set up your Eclipse. Mm-hmm. You need to install Papyrus plugin and documentation plugin.
Yeah, maybe I'll reach out to you.
Is there an end-to-end up-to-date flow that describes all of this? Or it looks like there's a couple of pieces missing here when you talk about
it probably does need some updating.
But all the information are there. I mean, just you need to follow them step by step. I mean, by time I was doing this many times, so I will review it if I can.
If you could help us benefit from your learning curve,
that would be good. Yeah, like Fred
it
said.
It sounds like you're. Yeah. Right. Who was just speaking?
That was Camel.
Camel. Oh, hi, Camel. Yeah. Thank you.
I just followed this like just step by step, and I didn't. I think I just clicked on this link and I probably didn't get the latest release. And when this is written in 2019, it's, a year out of date. So,
Right. Cameron, you wouldn't mind taking a shot at updating this with your knowledge. Thank you.
I will review it. If there's anything I need to update, I will.
Great.
Update.
Yeah. Fantastic. I might reach out to you separately too, Cameron. Yeah. Thanks.
This way, Ben won't call you so much.
Right. Okay.
Sorry, Andy, before we move on from this, can I ask the intention of the UMLs? Are they supposed to represent the current classes exactly as they are in the released code, or is it more like a design document from how we want it to be?
Yeah, you could actually use it for both. And if you have new attributes that you're anticipating, you can actually mark them as a stereotype to show that they're experimental. So you could combine your stable release stuff as well as your emerging concepts in the same model.
I'm just wondering, especially because as you can imagine, we're only starting this up, so I expect this will change quite a lot in the first couple of weeks. So do we constantly need to update that, or is it okay if we update time and get a shot of it now and then update it at release time maybe?
Release time would be fine. Yeah, we're not asking you to constantly, if you're through development and you already have your preliminary model is always nice to have, right?
I agree. I totally agree. It would be good to have a preliminary model now and then maybe at release time make sure it's up to date.
And then fix that release time.
Perfect. That sounds like a good strategy. Thanks very much.
No problem.
So I can show you, this is a model that we worked on. The location model, for example. So this is, I think, it's an example of what an output, right? This is what you're kind of talking about, right, Andy? So.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and the Papyrus will show, or actually maybe Andy, if you have it working, do you want to show quickly kind of what that looks like?
Well, I don't have it up right now.
Oh, okay, yeah. So, but anyway, it's a tool that, actually, I mean, I have it here. It's like when you click on this, it will open up like a sort of like a PowerPoint sort of interface where you can draw and add stuff basically to it. And then you,
Can it generate this from existing code? So if like what Neve has done, she has defined interfaces. Could it generate UMLs from that?
You can. I think if you have a Java code, you can generate from your Java code the classes.
There are some tools that will help with. I think there's a couple of things that I forget the name of it. One that actually will generate the UML from the Swagger It's kind of, it's still like an experimental tool.
Yeah, yeah.
But it gets you at least something. What's kind of important when you're doing the UML though is not just identifying the classes and attributes and types, but also putting in those descriptions. And that's usually and what we're really missing.
I understand that.
If you have your Swagger as Andy said, I mean, or .json or .yaml, you can convert it to UML. Or you can, if you have your XML schema document, you can convert.
Yeah, I just want to clarify. We really want to make sure that these get separated. We have a REST API and we have a Java API, and the Java API will have more capabilities and will be finer grained and all that. So we probably need separate diagrams for both of them. Or are we only looking for something for the REST API?
Are you exposing your Java APIs outside of CPS?
No, sorry. Yes, it's very much, as I said, the intention that that certain clients will use the CPS to the Java API instead of over the REST interface. Especially if you, from performance point of view, we expect clients that have many interactions with the database, they will use it as a library instead of over the REST API.
Yeah, since UML is kind of meant to represent the logical view, I would kind of. And I'm sure that the concepts of the REST API are probably a subset of what you're representing on the Java.
I would produce one
kind of combined model that represents all the things that are exposed, all the concepts that are exposed.
Okay.
And then, you know, if necessary, we get to the point of API mapping, we can do the mapping from the model, the information model to the particular API instance.
Okay.
So I, as a potential exploiter of this service, I would expect actually the REST API. I know that it will be ready, but I would like to review as soon as it is possible. I don't know when it's planned to be exposed or published.
Niamh just put something in the text for this meeting. We already published the YAML document. Now, but this is a proposal. As we implement it, the details might change. I hope.
Sure. I just like to review this API.
Yeah, no, it's there. It's in the chat there. The last link in the chat.
Okay. Thanks. Great. We'll look at it.
Thanks, Ben.
Thanks. All right, great. So anything more on the modeling stuff? We'll try to get, let me actually put this in case people want to, try to get that thing if you want to follow along. But what happened? Okay. So Tony, you mentioned something about SAN normalization. What did you? I'm not sure what you had in mind.
Yeah, it depends. Are our colleagues from SAN on? And do we want to go through the interface stuff first? Because this is, I just want to pull the discussion back a little bit.
I don't think any of the SAN colleagues are on the call right now that I see. So.
Just give a skinny version of what you are talking about here. Is this like vendor independence type of a topic?
It is, right? At the moment, SAN is working on a fixed model for all network functions. And as the number and variation of network functions goes, that introduces a problem. Where do you... because there will be variations. That's inevitable because vendors will have differences. So how do you cater for the transformation of, or do you cater for the transformation of the data model from the native view that's provided by the XNF, which is what CPS is trying to store.
Right.
But when you're doing something like a SAN feature, there's a bunch of trades analysis that you need to do to figure out, well, do I need to do it? Am I okay with having to update my core algorithms, or do I need to update my core algorithms as a result of changes in the XNF data models? Or do I want to have some kind of an abstraction, a simplified abstraction, which reduces my functionality, but then allows me to encapsulate any, you could call it model mapping or normalization, in order to facilitate a more stable environment for my algorithms to work. So there's different trade-offs that you need to take into account. And I just wanted to go through a little bit of that and how that would work with the CPS.
That sounds great. The understanding I have is that even if we have a finite set, which are standardized and have a fixed arrangement in our database stored, these extensions need to be catered to, but you've already, by doing that, you've helped reduce the integration work, right, by making that smaller, right? And then those deltas, those vendor proprietary or non-standardized, can be driven into standards, and then you would have to transform the differences over time, right? But I don't know.
Again,
that,
depending on how you want to use them. So if you have something like SAN, that's obviously not going to work on the entirety of the data model. It's going to look at specific attributes of cells, for example, that it wants to understand, because
right.
It has an algorithm and a use case that it's trying
right.
to optimize across multiples. So it may have a normalized view, or it may want to respond in a more responsive way. It may want to be more responsive to changes that are happening. But
when you say responsive and normalized, I don't see those as being dependent, right? They're independent, right?
They're not mutually exclusive.
And speed are
they're not mutually things. Exclusive, but it depends on the complexity and where you need to take the design hit. And by design, I'm talking about someone writing Java code. To implement an algorithm that may change or may need to be updated as a result of taking.
Well, which algorithm are you talking about? The one that's inside the
SAN.
Optimization framework,
yes.
Or the one that, or we're just, that's a don't care to us, right? We're just worried about the configuration aspects, right?
CPS
they're standardized
is your
or they're extended.
CPS is only caring about data. Absolutely. But the SAN guys, and that's why I wanted to have the SAN guys here, they very much care about the algorithms and the data on which those algorithms work.
But the data or the configuration data is independent of what they do in their algorithms. If they need additional configuration information, that's an appendage to the standard set.
I don't see
so we're in
a
violent
conflict.
Agreement.
But what I do need to do is to understand, because right at this moment in time, as far as I'm aware, in the we're in Honolulu, in the Guilin release, the data model that was used and stored in the forerunner for CPS, the ConfigDB, was very, very simple.
Right.
And it's now being extended to cover
of
a lot
course.
More attributes,
yeah.
which is completely fine.
It's a real use case, and that's going to happen. But the same question of vendor proprietary versus standard is going to live with us forever, right? So we have to come up with a way of making it easy to have these extensions, whether we use concepts like the decorator pattern or something that allows that kind of an easy extension that's backwards compatible is something we have to work out in the details. I welcome that discussion. It's too bad they're not here. Can you send me some contacts there in that group so that I can kick that off?
I think they should be here in about 15 minutes.
Yeah, so Fred, if you go to the, R8, this is the all the use case landing page, right? And I'll put it in the chat for you.
Yeah, thanks.
If you go to this page, you can get to pages, all the other pages. So from here, there's an NN network slicing team page, and you can find, there should be able to find contacts and stuff. Okay. All right.
Yeah. You can put that in the chat. I'd appreciate it.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah.
All right.
Put that in the
enough,
chat.
Enough said. All right.
Okay.
Got it.
So let me see. There were some other things we need to make sure we have in place here. So right now they're looking at the R8 pages, R8 planning pages here. Let me see if I can find, where is it? here, the Jira dashboard. So actually what they're asking right now is about the impacts and assessments. So they're trying to assess the impacts of the release. And we have this 427.
We impact and, ourselves.
Yeah, and I think that's the only thing we impact, right? Is that true?
I guess so. I mean, until Son guys come in, and I mean, and that's what we're working through right now. Mm. But that would come from their requirement impacting CPS, I think. So to my mind, this initial requirement is creating the CPS. It's setting up the project. It's all the stuff that Tuan and Neve and Rishi were talking about, and Claudio and Philippe and all the guys working on it. It's all that stuff that they're doing.
Okay. Yeah.
There does seem to be another role there, 467, that were cross-referenced. It's the, that one there.
Oh, cool.
Well, I would expect like the NN network slicing and the OF SON stuff up here. Yes, up here have CPS impacts as well. So one thing.
Okay, so those are the requirements for those specific use cases in the table above that.
Yes, okay. Correct. Right. But you know, it's confusing because there's actually a table of use cases, quote unquote, and requirements, and a collection of requirements is a use case, but. A lot of use cases are just extending they have a base functionality and they're just extending it with stuff. So, and that's kind of what we would expect a requirement to be. And a use case I would expect to be a collection of, you know, a larger effort. But in any case, but you see that there's the network slicing and the SON work. So one thing that we need to do also on this table, which people may not be aware of, is when you go to create a requirement, for each of the things where you have impact, you're supposed to go to that team. So for example, we've been talking to the OFSON PCI team and the PTL, like Toyn should say, okay, I understand that you have changes you need from this project, and we understand what those changes are, and we approve. And then that's when you should basically say,
oh, okay.
So, we commit to that change that you're asking for, and you should mark it in green. So, I mean, we could do that here now.
I am approving.
I think we lost.
Oh yeah. So yeah. So I mean, we can update this now because, you know, as we're talking about it as a team. So basically, I think we lost Tuan, but basically this is the OFSON stuff and this is the end-to-end network slicing stuff. If we approve that, we should mark this in green, right? Like that, for example.
That comes down to the resources and make sure that we have the people. So
yeah.
To essentially put stuff on the backlog. No, we can't hear you, Tuan.
Lost Tuan. Yeah.
I mean, he's still there, but we can't hear him. So I guess he's going to have to dial out and dial back in.
So I think we should certainly mark ourselves as green because CPS approves itself to support itself, right? So,
I'd say
that's probably
a fair assumption. But I'd be inclined to leave the other one to the team that are implementing and committing to look at their backlog and make sure that they understand the requirements, because I do not think that we have fully established what the requirements are for SON.
Sure.
I think we were in the process of doing that, and hopefully we get conclusion in the next couple of days.
Right.
And it should go green. I think it's.
Can I have a question about?
Go ahead, Kamel. I think. No.
That's Joachim.
About this, these requirements and in principle this table. Mm-hmm. I mean, the CPS as such is the database with exposing some APIs and all that. I mean, is there no impact on other components here? Or, I mean, you have the use cases, but you also have components in the top. So how to read this? Who will store the young models in CPS and all that? Is that
that's entirely encapsulated in CPS? Yeah.
Okay, so that is no impact on other components at all, but
no, I there mean, was an action taken that we needed to look at if we would share an instance of a DBMS with another component, and that hasn't been finalized, and that may change that scenario, but at the moment, as far as I understand, and I guess some of the guys on the team probably know better than me, we're working against a Postgres instance ourselves. And that's as far as we've gotten. The database technology that we're using is Postgres, and we have not as yet looked at what other DBMS instances are available in ONAP to share.
But these other APIs for searching nodes and all that, we have XPath. Who is doing that part?
CPS.
I mean, but CPS, is that, I mean, is it just... I mean, so it's an internal API then.
Who's going to make use of those APIs? Then you're into the use cases such as SAN and end-to-end network slicing.
Yeah, okay. But there is no impact on the other components like SO and whatever. CDS
no, it's a base platform component. So by introducing a new base platform component, we would expect to have pretty much no impact on any of the other components until they decide they want to use us, until they decide that they want to use CPS to store or read data from. So it's only it's only when they have a decide, and that comes down to the maturity of CPS right now. It's finishing up proof of concept and it's establishing itself as a project.
Okay, so, but it's all about the use cases. Then you need to know exactly what the use case is about and what you need.
Which is why we're having a joint meeting with the SAN guys on a fairly regular basis. Exactly.
Although I would add a comment here. So there are three things that I see that we might eventually have, or maybe four things I see might eventually have some kind of impact to, maybe not right away, but the probably should have something in the requirements. So there should be like actual requirements, like a lot of projects actually have requirements. The second of three is, and third of three is like, there's probably going to be some interface to CPS, whether UI or VID, that will eventually we may contribute to. Our team itself may say we want to have essentially an operator be able to access CPS. And the fourth is I think we may eventually have some sort of external API as well, outside of to interface to stuff. Maybe not right now, but those are things that you might think or that you might have as changes from as a result of the project, right? So
For sure we're going to have integration impacts because we have to be deployed at the end of the day.
And I know don't think that integration
that was in, yeah I didn't think so either but yeah. I know it was an issue for the service orchestration towards the end of Guilin that they had issues with making sure that they got their new pods and whatnot deployed.
Right. Integration is its whole separate thing. I think that might be its own separate page, actually.
Hey, Ben, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Hi. Sorry. Yeah, sorry about that. This the external API. Well, what's the external here? So what would be considered an external API?
Right now, external API is a project in ONAP that provides Swagger-based APIs that are based on TM4M standards outside of ONAP, typically on the northbound side, although there are some uses for service provider to service provider possible support those APIs as well. Right now, they support service catalog, service inventory, service ordering. And I believe during Honolulu, they're adding some performance management KPI type information there.
So okay, I would like to make sure about the external REST API because I saw the page. So do you plan to just have one method that returns a JSON object as a result, regardless of what's returned by it? I mean, get nodes and then as a result, it's just a JSON object without any schema and that can't be modeled to anything.
External APIs, are you talking about the external API project? Or are you talking about?
I mean about the link you shared in the chat.
there was a link would be to the internal to REST API. So we're switching context a little bit here. Okay. It might be better to come back and maybe because I think we should continue the discussion having now. Okay. I can answer your question, but maybe we can do it separately in an email. That might be better.
Yeah, based on this external, just based on the external API concept you just went over, my understanding was that this database, the configuration database, was only for elements that have been provisioned in the network. Does it make sense to even have elements that are being designed or engineered in the future to be in, have their configuration be in this database? Where are we drawing the line on that, right? Because if you're talking about SDC and other forward-looking capabilities to design and deploy services or resources in the future, would we actually have a separate area in our config database for those things which are yet to be deployed in the network, or is this only for what we have deployed in the network?
Or do you do it during onboarding? So when that
exactly, yeah. Do we want to start configuration? Yeah, there has to be a separate category for onboarding configuration in this database. I don't know that you really want to mix the two because other systems like service orchestration, resource orchestration get very confused if they start trying to configure things that aren't even in the network yet. Anyway,
yeah,
it's something to consider.
Okay,
Ben, were you filling out the table of project impacts?
I went to the project impacts table, and the only thing I did was I put that CPS supports itself. That's all I've done.
Right. Now, did we talk about modeling already? Right. So are we?
That's a separate page. I did update the model.
Well, no, there's a model and column in there. Don't forget.
Oh yeah. Okay, that's a good point. Yeah.
Because we do use that.
Right. That's good. Yeah, that's a good call. Yeah. So there is a modeling work for sure for CPS. That's for sure. Yeah, that's a good point. Let me put next there.
And then typically here you identify what impacts you're going to have on other components that might need to do some coding based on what you're modifying as part of this release.
For this to go green, we.
You need to present it to
the modeling team. Yeah, right.
Do we foresee modeling impacts on other components bar ourselves? Now, maybe even if there's a modeling that we need to do for ourselves, maybe this column should be ticked, but maybe not if we don't impact any other applications. That's what I'm wondering about here.
If you're exposing an API and publishing a model, that's usually where you click this one.
On
the other side of things, whoever is consuming your APIs might need to write code to, you know, for the client side. So you might want to identify which components you're asking to do that.
But that's so in the table above this, isn't it? That's the use case. Is that the use case table where we have the?
I guess you could say it's the use case table, I suppose. But yeah, if you didn't have a use case and you're actually updating APIs or creating new APIs that you're expecting another component to consume, then you would identify here if you did not have a use case. Yeah. So if the use case is already covering that, I'm not sure you have to replicate it here. I don't know, Ben,
we talked about this also too. Arguably, now that CPS is some platform component, we shouldn't even be on this table, I don't think, because each project kind of tracks. Like, for example, you don't see ANAI and SO on the left side of the table. It's just because we had sort of gotten to the rhythm of creating a RAQ use case JIRA to track our stuff. So I think maybe in R8, I mean, we might need to go to just David McBride and talk about this, because we're kind of making the transition from like a use case into a standalone project. So normally what would happen is I think the standalone projects each create their own JIRAs for each of their things that impact stuff. So basically if you go to the approved projects and you go to, you know, up any particular project, you know, they have what they do in these various releases, and they each have their own JIRA tickets for sort of like they have their kind of like their own table for of impacts and JIRAs and things like that. So but I think for this release, I mean, we can use this for now, or we can, if you want, Twain, might want to go to David to get some advice. But
yeah, I was just going to say that I probably would like to have a meeting like that, because there's lots here that I simply do not know. And it might be good if David Brin gives a bit of an overview on what he expects from CPS in this release and going forward.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. And basically, at the end of the day, you just want people to be aware of what you're doing, and you want to be aware of what they're doing. If anything has an impact to us, or we impact other people, you just want to communicate. And if people are aware of that, I think whatever table or thing or page you track it on, I mean, you've done your job, right? So basically, this lets the modeling team, because they go down this column and just see, you know, here's where the impacts are. Eventually, we should have some requirements. And then if we ever want to have an interface to the outside universe, you probably are going to impact Vid or UI, I would expect. Okay. So one more thing I want to go over as well. First of all, any other questions on the impact stuff?
OIM will also be impacted, I guess, if you have a new component.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Actually, that's an AF too, right? I think every new component needs an AF entry as well. So we might need to look into that too. even though AF is in maintenance mode now, I believe in order for you to
communicate with other services
to do anything with anything, I think you have to have an entry in AF. So you might want to look into that. As I understand it. Okay. So let me see. Let me just write that down. I don't know what the right word is, sort of registered as a component in order to work in AF. And that there was a discussion, actually, I was on last week. They were trying to put it in maintenance mode, but they said you can't do that, because you can't deprecate it, because that would mean you'd never be able to
critical.
You could never. Yeah. That's that whole critical discussion. You'd never be able to add a new component ever to ONAP ever again. Let me see.
Will you be also including SDNR?
Thanks for that question.
That's a good question too. Here's what I was looking for.
Because in our end-to-end network slicing use case, we have we have the impacted module. We listed all the modules we have, like SDNR, DCAE, ConfigDB, or INEI, all these module components. Asking if you want to have a look at it, and maybe you can inspire from there.
Yeah. Okay. Toyn, did you hear that, or? Okay. So I also wanted to show the release. So they recently announced the release for R8. And so we see the general requirement sheet approved next Thursday. At M1 also, we should also be planning I should write this down here too. The architecture subcommittee presentations. Should be planned and made. So anyway, you see that R8 is sort of kicked off, and we're now at M1. So by M1, all of your requirements presentations have been made. So we did that, and we should be essentially scheduling our architecture subcommittee reviews, and that is here. So these are the architecture subcommittee reviews here. Let me see here. So I put, we have an entry here. We haven't, so if we think we're ready to go, or I mean, we need to come up with an architecture presentation. I can kind of show you the,
those are the pages. We just need to make sure that it's up to date, right?
No. So let me show you what one looks like. So here's the presentations I'm making next Tuesday, right? So basically, you're going to present to the architecture subcommittee, we have the sort of overview. We have done an overview many times. So you give a little overview of what you're doing. The business driver stuff we are also very familiar with. But then you go into more detail exactly what you're doing in that release, right? So more kind of architectural detail of what you're doing, whatever it is. It'll be different for every project, of course. And then, you know, whatever modeling work there might be, you see, I'm also giving some history of what happened before as well, building on R6 and R7 and then going into R8, what we're doing. And then basically, you know, then there's sort of summaries based on area. So for example, we might have a row for CPS and then modeling and then whatever, you know, we've identified AF and VID and VNF requirements and blah, blah, blah. So you have a row for every thing you're doing. Basically every area you're working on, and then interfaces and API. So here we have probably a lot potentially to present here, and then sort of a summary of modeling stuff you're doing. So that's kind of what is presented at an architecture review. So we just need to put together a set of slides for that. You know, we can probably pull together a lot of sort of slides we already have for CPS, like we've done at the TSC and stuff as a basis. But we probably need to add a few things like what Neve and others are doing with the API, some details here.
Yeah, I was just going to say that's why we're doing those things, fleshing out the REST interface and the API. I presume we need that for the TSC presentation.
Yeah. So I think maybe we just start with the TSC presentation. So maybe we don't have to do that together on the call, but what I can do is we can take this and then Tony and Toyn, we can send this around and add stuff to it, like kind of like we did for the DDF. So let's, I'll take one of these base documents, maybe the DDF one. What was the latest one, October 15th. So I think this is one of our later documents here. And I can add some of the architecture structure around it, and then from here we can work, I think. So let me start the seed page, because I've done the architecture reviews before, and then we can I'll send around by email, and then
yeah, that'd be great. Thanks, Ben.
No problem. And then so probably not yet ready to present. Let me just look at November here.
I'm just wondering how detailed should we be with things like REST APIs and Java APIs? Can we link to existing pages?
So you can link to existing pages. Yeah. So you can say, here's where it is.
Information in the presentation itself.
So a combination. I would say, you know, you can say link to here's the link to the page, but then I would probably take a snapshot of not of the whole thing, but maybe a representative snapshot that you can talk to. So it is a presentation. Yeah. So basically people from the architecture subcommittee are essentially reviewing what you're doing, and they're essentially cross-checking to see that they understand that this makes sense. And they'll ask you questions about, you know, just basically what are all your I's dotted and T's crossed, and they can say, are you missing anything, and that sort of thing. So you want to have enough there that you can talk to, basically, and anticipate questions that they might ask about an API. And then have enough on the slide to answer the question. I think that's kind of, and then say, you know.
It's a good place to catch missed impacts as well.
So yeah.
Things like the AAF and OOM would absolutely come up there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Those sorts of things, right. Okay, let me just see here. So we can, let's see. I mean, I guess we can tentatively schedule maybe the 1st of December. We should be able to have something ready in 2 weeks, right? And then we can review it here as a team next week.
Good to get it out of the way, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Let's schedule tentatively for December 1. Okay. And okay. And I've done a number of these before, so I'm pretty familiar with how they go. All right. Let me see. And that gives us time also to review and show everybody the slides so they can give input too before we present. Okay. And then what's going to happen is Chakra will assign a ONAP ARC ticket to Jira ticket to your use case, and then you can link it. It'll actually automatically be a blocking element to your REQ, and we can link it to our project page as well for that release, which is what I'm doing for the other use cases. Okay. All right. So we probably may not want to have, we may actually want to have the AF thing as a separate thing. We should probably have somebody look at this. Maybe that's a development thing. Toyn. I think let me move it up to the development.
Quick question on the VSON folks coming in. Were they coming in on this meeting? Because we're kind of getting.
Yeah, I think they are.
That's what they had said last week.
They did say they were going to come in on the meeting, but I still don't see any of them.
I saw emails earlier today that they were canceling the meeting. I wasn't quite so many meetings.
Shankar was canceling. Shankar canceled the OF Sun meeting
after this. Okay.
Yeah. So he.
But
he,
I wonder if they weren't meeting at all, and therefore they're not in this meeting either.
Yeah, that sounds very reasonable.
Yeah, so it's possible. I know that India has Diwali is coming up, so maybe that's. Part of the thing here.
Pre-Diwali celebration.
Yeah. Well, so, okay, I was just looking up to see if there was anything from previous meetings that we wanted to, that we might have missed.
All right, Tony or Ben, can you remind me, I missed a few bits there. AAF, what does that stand for? I'm a bit lost with AAF.
That's the authentication and authorization framework.
Right.
So basically, if you want to communicate via REST, then you need to have SSL and security set up between components, so you need to have been registered.
Right.
So there's a small impact there. Okay. And then the OOM is the actual deployment software that figures out where all the microservices / pods are deployed.
Yeah. So it's something new. So this is a...
Yeah, so basically, I think in order for you to be a new component, I think there's a hard coded table in AF that tells you all the legal components that exist. So I think we just have to be in there, even though AF is in maintenance, meaning that there's no PTL, and you know, it's, if you look at the architecture pages, it's kind of it'll show that it's in maintenance. So
it'll be interesting to see how we get that change committed.
Yes, right. So as I understand it, I mean, once you're in maintenance, that component is kind of like use at your own risk, meaning that it's still there. It's just that there aren't any, you know, there's no new JIRAs or bug fixes, or you know, the code isn't advancing in any way in that
Catherine
sense.
Is attempting to establish a work group.
Yes.
To look at, correct, understand how to deal with this type of situation.
Yeah, every Tuesday. Right. 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 So yeah, I'm on that call actually. I've been on some of those calls. I couldn't attend this past Tuesday because I had a conflict, but I was on the kickoff call and a couple, you know, on the follow-on call where they're talking about the what it means to be in maintenance, and trying to define the process of something that's essentially been deprecated. So if you look in the architecture page, there's a couple of components that are fully deprecated. So like the logging and Pamba, but ESR and AF are going into maintenance, which means that there's essentially no support for ESR. And AF, the main
Clamp
thing was
as well. I saw an email today. Clamp is also going into maintenance, but the functionality is moving into policy, which
right.
at least gives a way forward.
So AF was just lacking a PTL. I think that was the main thing, was that there's just no PTL. And people had said on the call that this is a critical component because of the reason I just stated, and that's why I knew about it. And I think that so you couldn't remove AF, things would stop working, I think is the problem. And that's why and I think Tony, you were there, right? Yeah, you were there on this past architecture call Tuesdays. So that's why I said, you might want to mark things that are critical. In other words, things that can't be deprecated. And Chakar, the architecture PTL, agreed. He said, let's double bold, you know, put a little frame outline basically on those critical components. So
For anybody who hasn't seen this page, this safratech.net, it is an initiative that's been driven by Chakar.
Right.
And it is an absolutely fantastic resource for navigating to documentation about the different parts of ONAP and the different releases. I highly recommend it. Thanks for putting that in the chat,
Ben. Yeah. Especially if you're learning about ONAP, you just go to anything and it takes you to the documents of that thing, and then you can, you know, read more about it. So if you're learning about ONAP, this is a really good interface. And also there's other things too, like it, you know, tells you about upcoming things as well. And and they can look at previous architectures and stuff too.
Ben, I have some question. I would like to add some items under Sun. I know people from Sun, they are not here, but I remember a couple of weeks ago when I was in Sun's meeting, I asked them to provide them the sequence flow diagram. By the way, I haven't seen that yet. The reason for that is because there is interaction between the Sun and the CPS, right? So, and then when we review their proposal they presented in the TSC meetings, we found that to describe the impact is very brief. If you have a minute, you can go to their Sun use case page. They have slides there.
Hold on, let me get to their page.
Let me see. The use case page?
Yeah. The R8 one, or?
All right. And go to Sun, and then from there, you can go, this one, the first one, the use case requirements, this one.
I think I already have this downloaded. Let me see.
I think the overall architecture diagram is there. The only thing is that they need to translate it to sequence diagrams.
Not this one.
This one, yeah.
Not this one. Can you go to,
Lise?
Which one, Honolulu? This is the one. Is this the Honolulu release? Yeah, release it. See, this diagram, the numbers are broken, first of all, right? So for people who didn't follow the song in the previous release, and it's harder to glue the picture together because you can see some numbers are not not continuing.
And then
and the second thing is, see, because they start from this relay, the integrate with CPS. Before that, what's config DB, right? It's a different storage place, and then there will be missing some impact regarding the loading their models, right? Now they need to load model to the CPS rather than somewhere else in the previous release. So those kind of thing are not shown here. So. So that's why I think a couple of things maybe to put into
the notes. Can I show a diagram that might help fill that gap? I just put this together.
Sure.
Yeah,
you want to share?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but before that, maybe I just let me complete.
Let me write down the comments. Hold on one second.
Just complete my comments. First is to complete make the numbers complete into their release aids impact. Diagram, and missing the model loading uploading to the CPS.
Okay.
And the missing and wish them to draw the sequence diagram because they're flow end-to-end call flow
a ladder flow diagram.
Because now we can have better understanding regarding the interaction, works better for the team. Okay, thank you so much.
That's a little bit related to the diagram that or the slides that I wanted to show as well, but they're not here, so I think it would be less effectual without them.
And without that, I thought I'd just quickly put together a diagram if you allow me to screen share.
Yeah, go ahead, Fred.
All right. Let me know when you can see this diagram. It says RAND config change mediation and shows the algorithm. Can you see the screen?
Yeah. We can see.
Oh, all right. So just to as a part of this, there are going to be several SON algorithms. As you know, this is just SON centric, right? And then at some point there has to be some. You know, there are going to be multiple requests that come in from these different parallel algorithms, like changing a parameter. And at some point there has to be some kind of a logic that says, okay, which one wins, right? Because you have multiple algorithms that could be trying to change the same parameter. But nonetheless, you know, once a decision has been made in this purple box, right, you put this configuration change at some point into the CPS database, which is shown at the bottom, right, just a segment of it. And then the change gets propagated either directly to the XMF for configuration or to an element management system, right? So I think this is part of the logic that has to be shown in that flow that was just being described, right? And I was just thinking a diagram like this might be helpful to show the team to put together those flows, right? This is, you know,
that's a big help, but it's part of it. There's other questions that would need to be answered.
It's part of it. I agree. No. I wish I had all the answers, right? But again, without the SON team being here, maybe they already have this diagram and we can discuss it. But anyway, this is what I wanted to just, I support what was just being said. Was that Jennifer? Junfeng who was talking? Yeah, Junfeng, sorry.
So just a quick question. So that inner purple box, is that SDNR functionality?
It could live in a few places. I think part of it has to be implemented in real time, right? Because you're going to get these algorithms put in, making these requests for changes, and there has to be some decision on, you know, where we can apply those changes. It could be maybe these changes are only allowed to be applied to a cluster of cells or these geographic polygons, right? And then there has to be some policies to decide, you know, whether that change can be made and so on. This is more of the SON function, the real time. But in the design aspects, these have to be considered as well. So I wouldn't say it's primarily the SDNR, it would be primarily in the runtime of SON.
So it could be distributed too, right? So
Maybe
if you look at like ORAM, maybe part of it is in the non-real time RIC or something.
And again, that depends on the regional application of the information and the source of the algorithms, right? But ultimately, there has to, while it's distributed, it has to be logically centralized to be coordinated. But again, with the case of RAN, you know, you're really talking about clusters. So a cluster in Oklahoma may not impact the cluster in New Jersey, right? So
right,
those
right.
are the aspects. All right, cool. I just wanted to. I just put this together because
yeah, it looks good.
This
yeah.
discussion was
pretty but you could have something that also schedules the changes as well, right? So you'd want
well,
to look
that's
at
right. That's
order,
right.
Ordering and scheduling changes so that they don't conflict or some deconfliction scheduling.
And that's a policy, right? Because you yeah. only want to make this change at midnight, right? So that's where it's reflected. Yeah.
Or I want to make change A always before change B, right? Of different types.
Again, that would be a policy, but to your point, there is a temporal aspect of policy, and there's also a spatial aspect that has to be taken into consideration.
Yeah.
And we're trying to take both into consideration. But again, without the sound team here, I'm not sure how far along they are in that work. But this is, you know, the captures some of the ingredients.
Good,
not all.
Good points. Yeah, it's just yeah. Where do we build and place that, and maybe in multiple places. Yeah, interesting.
And Fred, how do you envision the RAN configuration database? Is that's
really us, right? That's
okay.
A part of our configuration database that pertains to the RAN, right? And like I said, these things are going to be bopping and weaving with these loops, and we have to maintain the golden state for things. So, you know,
that's one or more Yang models. If you're going to use the CPS, that's one or more Yang models that would be stored in, and then data relating to those stored in CPS.
Well,
for example,
would you say one? I would think that there's got to be a RAN data model that would be represented in Yang, which is extensible. So if that's what you mean by one, then yeah.
One or
agree.
More, yes.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Yeah, depending on implementation. I get it now. All right. Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'll stop sharing now. I'm done.
Yeah, good. I like it. And I see you've also been attending the SANOF team calls as well. That sort of thing can be incorporated into their
Which meeting are you talking about?
The call right after this one, the SAN PCI call.
The one that was canceled? Yeah, I think I attended one or...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember.
That is canceled, just to confirm that.
Yes, it is canceled.
I'm not going to dial in 5 minutes because I didn't get a cancellation.
Right.
It
was canceled,
yeah. So we'll reschedule with that team then, right?
Right.
Let's prepare something. Okay, cool.
Yeah, because related to what Yunfeng has and what you have just presented, the slides that I wanted to present, they relate directly to that. In particular,
awesome.
In particular around how you'd interact with CNPS, CPS. Hopefully we get to do that next week.
Right. Let me. Speaking of which, let me. I think we should just move all this stuff down to next week discussion here, because I think these were things we would have talked about had they been on the call. And I'll try to follow up with them, email to see if they can make it next week.
Yeah.
Because I know actually there was an email from, I think it was Swami, who was saying that he canceled something or other because he realized it was the Indian holiday, Diwali. So let me see. That's the 20th, I think. Yeah. Okay. And dang it. So one other thing that just wanted to bring people's attention to is next week on the use case realization call happening next Thursday. We're presenting the CPS concepts and API. What happens here? So, here's the realization call, and you can. Of course, there's a link to it off of here as well. You can get to this. Last call just yesterday, the end-to-end network slicing team gave a talk Swami and Ling Meng gave a talk about what's happening in R7 and R8 for end-to-end network slicing. Next Thursday, there should be a presentation on the CPS overview, which we've kind of already given, but then Toyn put together a slide pack for CPS concepts, and maybe Neve or Toyn can give a talk about the API overview. So I expect the overview piece should not take too long, just enough to give them a flavor of what CPS is, and then we'll spend most of the time on the API overview and CPS concepts. Does that sound, you're aware of this, right, Toyn and Neve?
Yep, that's fine.
Okay. Toyn, is this good for you? Toyn, you there? Did we lose Toyn again?
Looks like we might have lost Toyn.
Okay, all right. So last I spoke to him, I think he was aware of this, so I just wanted to...
It is okay, he says.
Yeah, okay.
He can hear us, we just can't hear him.
Right, okay. So he has the slide pack, and I think he's pretty much ready to go. If you guys attend to that call, I think that would be good. Let me just make sure. So if everything is scheduled in this now, I don't know if everybody, I think everybody should have access to this, right? Let me put it in here. So here's the ONAP meeting thing. And I think if you look in the calendar, it should be in the calendar. So, by the way, I put our meeting here as well. It should be here. So it's, I noticed that a lot of the use case stuff was green. So I tagged our thing as green. Okay. So, that's happening on the 19th. All right. Anything else? I think we're at time here. Anything else we want to, or any other comments in the last minute or two? Okay. If not, then we'll close the meeting. And thank you everybody for attending. Have a great weekend. Okay. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you next time.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
This weekend is Labor Day weekend, so we're not going to have our meeting next week. So we're talking about the SON meeting 2 weeks out then, I assume.
That's good to know, Fred. Thank you.
Again, the Labor Day weekend, what?
Isn't
that next weekend?
You mean Thanksgiving or what?
I'm sorry, Thanksgiving. What am I talking about?
Yeah, so Thanksgiving, I think, is the 26th. I mean,
Okay, I may be off by a week. All right, thanks.
Yeah, so I plan to still be on the call. So, I mean, this is just a USA holiday. So I'm going to be, we'll run the meeting through the 20th and 27th. So, I'm canceling the use case call because the use case realization call on the 26th. But we'll still have the CPS call on the 27th. So,
cool.
Yeah. Okay, great. Okay. Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Everyone, bye.